Thanks for joining us on the Authentic Church Podcast. Let's jump right into this week's message.
God has a word for you today. There is a reason you're here today, okay? There's a reason, because God has a word that I believe will change your life. And we are on week 3 now of our series titled Blessed. We are blessed. And Jesus came to teach us that we can have a more fulfilled life through him, that we could see his Holy Spirit overflowing in our life. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. Because we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. We've been looking at the very beginning of his sermon, which is called the Beatitudes. And Jesus is teaching his disciples about the Beatitudes. Now, maybe you're asking, Pastor, what are the Beatitudes? I got a new definition for you today. I heard this. I love it. Here's a new definition. These are the beautiful attitudes that honor God. That's what the Beatitudes are. Come on. That's good. That's good. Somebody actually commented that a week ago on YouTube. I was like, that's really good. That's better than what I said, okay? So I'm gonna use it now, so thank you. But these are the beautiful attitudes that honor God, the attitudes you should be living out to see God's purpose in your life, okay? But let me also word it a different way where you may not say all. Jesus was also telling his disciples, listen, you need to change your attitude. That's really what he was saying. You need to change your attitude. So now do me another favor. Look to somebody you barely know, just to make it extra awkward, and say, change your attitude. And I mean, say it sternly, like change your, you don't know anything about their life. You better change your attitude, right? That's what Jesus was stating to the disciples. You have to change your attitude. Why? Because if you change your attitude, you can change your life. That's what Jesus was teaching us through the Beatitudes, that there is a better way of living, a more fulfilled way of living. So let's look at the next Beatitude together. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, where Jesus stated, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And again, every time Jesus spoke these words, the disciples had to be confused and shocked. Like, blessed are the meek? Jesus, what are you saying? And if you were to look up the definition of what meekness means today in our culture, the definition you would see, it's something like this. In our culture, it states that meekness means lacking courage, submissive and weak. Does that sound good? Anybody want to live like that? It probably means that you're going to be pushed around a lot. It probably means that people are going to try to control you and tell you what to do. And in our culture today, like, if you don't push people out of the way, you'll never get ahead. At least that's what the world tells us. That's what the devil whispers in our ear. If you really want to get that job position, you got to push people out of the way. You got to make yourself better than them. And then Jesus changes everything. He says, no, no, no. Listen, it's not about you. It's about the Father's plans. It's about his purpose for your life. So a better attitude, a more beautiful attitude to honor God is meekness. This is something you should desire. If the world says it's powerless and God's word says it has power, there's a reason. Here's what Jesus is trying to teach us. He's saying that this is actually a superpower to overcome your flesh and overcome the devil. That's what Jesus is actually stating with meekness, right? Because the devil, what does he like to do? He likes to twist everything just a little bit so that you never experience freedom in your life, so that you never see your life more fulfilled. And what he will tell you is this: if somebody is going against you, take revenge. They said that about you, go ahead and say something about them. They made a post about you, go ahead and post about them. Take revenge, take it into your own hands. But then the word of God states, listen, there is a warning. If you take revenge, you play God. That's what the word of the Lord says. If you take revenge on somebody else who hurt you, then you play God, and that's not gonna work out well for you in the end. That's gonna become a big problem. So Jesus is revealing, listen, the thing about meekness is that it's true strength. And Jesus is stating it like this, that there are times you need to hold back the power you have for God to do a greater good. That's hard though, to hold back. Like hold back what? Like my mouth, the things that I wanna do, I wanna punch them in the face right now. God, what are you telling me to hold back? Because sometimes we can mess up what the Lord actually wants to do in our life. Jesus revealing, listen, there's strength in your life. There's things that the Lord has given you, things that you can do, but there's times where the Holy Spirit says, no, you can't say that. You can't go there. You can't do this today because you're gonna mess a lot of things up. And then this was very interesting to me. So Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When Jesus was stating this, he's actually quoting from King David. Because King David wrote in Psalms 37, he wrote to the Israelites, he said, listen, this is the land that you're living in, but you don't own it yet. And so sometimes you see the enemy and they look like they're prosperous. They have everything you want. You ever felt like that? Like, God, they have everything that I want. They have the house, they have the family, they have the children, the things that I'm praying for. They're not even living for you. I'm trying to do the right thing, and we start to compare our life. Listen, God is saying, stay in your lane. You're trying to run their race, they have a different race from you. Stay in your lane. Pay attention to what I'm doing in your life because I'm producing a better character. See, the Israelites were looking at the promises of God. God, you said this land is for me, but yet my enemy owns the land. And David was stating to the people, hey, what do? You wait on the Lord. And God will come through and do something supernatural. This land will be yours. So Jesus is quoting from that. Listen to this, Psalm 37, verse 10. In just a little while, David said, the wicked won't exist. If you go looking around their place, they won't be there. But the weak will inherit the land. They will enjoy a surplus of peace. Who wants peace today? You will enjoy a surplus of peace. The wicked plot against the righteous, grinding their teeth at them. But my Lord, I love this right here. He just laughs. He laughs at their plans. Oh, they're talking bad about you? Okay, God's about to get them. If they're coming against you, they have plans to hurt you. All right, God's gonna get them. He is laughing at their wickedness, at their plans, that they think that they can win this fight. They can't win this fight because he knows that their day is coming. Better is the little that the righteous have than the overabundant wealth of the wicked, because the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord supports the righteous. Meaning, wait on the Lord. He will show up and do what you cannot. That's what Jesus is stating. Blessed are the meek, for you will inherit the land. So Jesus is actually teaching us how to become stronger. So the title of today's message is this, stronger than ever. That's what meekness is actually about, becoming stronger than ever, but not according to the world's standards, but instead a spiritual way, okay? And so there's two revelations that I wanna show you today and a lot of sub-points in between. So let's go ahead and dive in. Point number one is this. I need you to understand meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Now, I've heard a lot of other pastors preach it just like that. Meekness is not weakness. I wanna make it clear though, the devil lied to you. Shocker. The world lied to you, telling you that this is weakness. According to the Vine's Greek dictionary, the word meekness that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, actually means, and I love this definition. Can we put this definition on the screen? It means strength under control. Did you know that? That's what Jesus was stating. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are you when you have the strength, but you also have control over that strength. When you know you could do something, but you hold back instead for the glory of God. It means having the strength to stop a reaction for God's greater purpose. Is that preaching to you today? That preached to my life. That was so good. It's almost like you going up to an MMA fighter, professionally trained, trying to fight him. Is he gonna fight you? Hopefully not, because you will die, okay? I don't care how strong you were back in 1984. It doesn't matter. He will take you out today. Why? Because he is a trained professional. He knows that if he fights you, he could kill you. So he holds back his strength. Did you know many times Jesus held back his power, back his authority that he could have used on the enemy for God's greater purpose for us to be saved? So let me show you a few examples today. So here are the sub points. First of all, I need you to understand meekness at times will come into your life to shut your mouth. Meekness will come to shut your mouth. Who needs that today as well? Let's be honest. Maybe you struggle with always getting the last word. Like that other person told you, listen, the conversation's done. Okay, it's done. No, I said it's done. It's done. Yeah, it's done. Like you just gotta get the last word no matter what. You gotta say the last thing, or you can't help it, but you gotta prove that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Like, I'm over this, I forgive you guys, but I just want y'all to know, like, I was right. Okay, I just want to know, but this is done, all right? Like, you got to get the last word. And so you're using your mouth in ways that sometimes the Holy Spirit's like, I told you not to say that. Like, I told you not to go there. You didn't have to say that. The truth is, listen, your mouth can mess up what God has planned for you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. People who are careful about what they say will save their life. But people who speak without thinking will just be destroyed. They destroy their own lives by the things, by the words that come out of their own mouth. Because they're not thinking properly about the kingdom of God. They just want to get the last word. So let me show you this revelation. This is really cool. But in the Old Testament, most of us know that it was prophesied already that Jesus would be mocked. He would be persecuted. He would be beaten and he would be led to the cross. But did you know that it was also prophesied that while all this was going on, he would choose to remain silent? Let me word it a different way. Jesus chose not to defend himself when he was innocent. He chose not to speak up because there's power in his words. And we're about to get there, but listen to this. Here's the prophecy. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 states that he was oppressed and he was harshly mistreated. Here it is. Still, he humbly submitted, refusing to defend himself. Look at that prophecy right there. Jesus refused to defend himself. He was like a gentle lamb to be slaughtered, like a silent sheep before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. Why wouldn't Jesus open his mouth? He was innocent. He had power. He had authority. Why wouldn't he open his mouth? Because he did not want in any way to hinder the plans that would bring us to salvation. Jesus kept his mouth closed so that we can be saved from our sins. He knew the ultimate plan meant that I had to suffer to be free. For freedom in our life. So why does God allow suffering in our life sometimes? So that we can be free in the end. We have to go through pain to understand just how much we need the Lord. He didn't want to walk away from the plan because this is the only plan that would save you and I from our sins. From our mistakes, even though he's beaten, even though he's done nothing wrong, he still remained silent. And I'm looking at this because what do we do a lot when it comes to suffering? We complain a lot about suffering, don't we? I mean, it doesn't feel good. And sometimes we get really angry with God. Like, God, how come I'm hurt right now? How come I feel like my heart has been shattered into a million pieces? God, how come I'm hurting? How come I'm praying for somebody, but they're not being healed? Why, God, are you allowing me to suffer? And sometimes we even blame God for everything going on in our life that we have chosen for ourselves. For the relationship that God told you to never get into, we start to blame God for that. For the debt that we got into, we start to blame God for that. For the things that we wanted where God said, that's not for you, it's going to hurt you. And then we blame him like he's never suffered before. But the word of God is very clear. Jesus has been through it all. He's been through suffering in a way that you can't even imagine. The Bible also is clear that he faced every temptation that you and I have faced as well. Everything. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 through 18 states it like this. Jesus, our high priest, is able to understand our weaknesses. I love that. He's able to understand your pain because when Jesus lived on the earth, he was tempted in every way. He was tempted in the same ways you are tempted, that I am tempted, yet he did not sin. He knew no sin. And so I need to make this very clear. Jesus is not just sitting up in the sky telling you what to do all the time. But he sees your tears and he says, I understand that. I understand that you're mourning right now over the death of a loved one because Jesus mourned over John the Baptist. He knows what it's like to have a good friend hurt or murdered in a way that they should not have been. He also knows what it's like to be betrayed. He had those that were closest to us that betrayed him. He knows what it feels like to be persecuted. He knows what it feels like for stones to be thrown at him. And so when you're hurting, he's right there saying, I've been through it too. And the temptation that you're going through right now that you think you can't get out of, no, I've come to give you freedom. Jesus came to show us a way out that you don't have to be in bondage. He's saying, I understand what you're facing. But again, he faced way, way more than we could even imagine. How did Jesus suffer for you? Well, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14 states it like this. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. That's a prophecy spoken about Jesus way before his birth that he knew he would have to fulfill. See, sometimes we don't understand. We think the blessed life means a perfect life. We think the blessed life means that we're not going to go through trials or face problems. Yet here we see the Son of God submitting to the will of the Father that he would be so beaten, his face would become disfigured. He would look merely human. Listen to this, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was pierced. Why? Because of our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. Listen, he was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we can be healed. The stripes on his back are for healing to you today. So every time you call upon the name of Jesus and he brings you healing, it's because of what he did for you upon the cross. He says, I understand your suffering. You may not get it right now, but do you still trust the Lord? Even when you're right, do you still trust God when he says, be quiet? I know, because that means you trust that the Lord will speak up for you in the right time instead. That's what that means. See, I'm looking at the story here, and Pontius Pilate, he was amazed at the silence of Jesus. He didn't understand it. And Pilate was the governor of Rome. He was in charge of Jesus's life. But the thing is, he didn't want to kill Jesus. He thought of Jesus as an innocent man, that he was misunderstood. He was even afraid of Jesus. And so what's crazy to me is Pontius Pilate, who's supposed to have all this authority and power and strength according to the world standards, is bowing down to everybody else because he doesn't want to hurt Jesus, but he feels like he has no other choice. Yet Jesus, to them who look, he looks like he can't do anything, knows that he has all the authority in the world and knows that he's still submitting to the Father. Pilate was amazed at the way Jesus kept silent. Listen to this, Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14. Now Jesus was standing before Pilate, the Roman governor. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And the governor asked him. Jesus replied, you said it. It came out of your mouth. And then, but look at this. When the leading priests and the elders made their accusations against him, Jesus remained silent. And so Pilate says, did you hear? Did you hear all these charges that are coming up against you, that they're bringing up against you? Say something, Jesus. Otherwise, I have to take you to the cross. Jesus, I don't want you to go that way, but you're not saying anything. Imagine if it was today. Imagine the restraint. Pretty much people would be saying, do you hear what they're talking about you? How they're gossiping about you? How they're posting about you right now? God, Jesus, they're sharing things. It's going viral against your character. You should post something. You should say something. Jesus made no response to any of the charges, much to the governor's surprise. All this authority, okay. And we talked a little bit about this before, but I started praying to the Lord. It's like, why? Because it's hard. Like, why not take revenge when somebody really hurts you? How come we can't hurt people back who hurt us? How come we can't just make that post or say something at times when they say things about us that is not true? When you feel like everything's falling apart, because that's what gets in our head. When we feel like they're getting away with it, that's when we start to walk away from God. But God is declaring to you today, if you start to talk like them, you become like them. See, they have open doors to their hearts. They have no control over their mouth. They can't tame their mouth. Do not become just like them and say the same hurtful words. But then as I was praying, I felt the Lord place this on my heart. And I just felt him speak this, that silence can speak louder than words about your character and who you trust. Silence can speak louder than words. If you've ever been in trouble with a parent, you know that's true. Like when mom and dad are yelling at you, you're like, okay, this is normal. But when they just stare at you, like, I'm not even gonna say a word. Just wait till we get home. You think you're gonna die, okay? So silence can speak louder than words, but about your character and who you trust. Because why? It takes real strength to tame your tongue by the power of the Holy Spirit and realize God will speak up for me in the right time. That God's gonna stand up for me, that God can say the things that I don't know how to say, and he's gonna show revelations to people that will set me free. Remember last week, we talked about this. All Jesus had to do was speak and they would fall down. Remember that from last week's sermon? We talked about this. This is in John chapter 18, verse 6. Judas shows up with the squad. He wants to take Jesus away. Jesus says, I am. That's what he says here. He says, I am. And then the Bible tells us that at least 500 soldiers fell to the ground the moment he spoke that. So you have to understand, in this moment, as Jesus is being mocked and false accusations going against him, he could just say, I am. Everybody fall. So he doesn't even have to do anything. All he had to do was speak, but he remained silent. Why? To prove his commitment to the Father. And again, how much he loves us. Remember what Jesus told Peter? John chapter 18, verse 11. He said, put your sword away. Do you really think that I will avoid suffering which my Father has assigned to me? Meaning, I said this last week, that sometimes God will allow and assign suffering in your life for a greater good in the end. Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And so my question for you today, when it comes to your mouth, is how many words have you spoken that now you regret? How many times have you spoken out of turn and said these hurtful words, and because of that, friendships are now ruined? How many relationships have fallen apart in your life because you have no filter over your emotions? It just spews out and you wanna hurt them. Some of you have grown up in such dysfunctional homes, you are hurt in such a way that you just wanna hurt people back because it's the only way to defend yourself. Well, if I hurt them first, they can't hurt me. Nobody's ever gonna push me around again. That's what the devil tells you to do because it makes your heart hard. And when you shield yourself from everybody else saying, I'm not gonna get hurt. You shield yourself from love. That's what happens. You shield yourself from the love of others. And Jesus is saying, my Father has assigned this suffering to me. I'm gonna go through it. Let me say it like this. How many people have you turned away from Christ because of hateful words, jealous words, prideful words? Because once you said it, it's hard to recover. It's hard. And so if you're struggling in this area, here's the good news about a more blessed life. Jesus is stating, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you now have strength to control what's coming out of your mouth. That you can reframe and trust that the Lord can do what you cannot. That you can serve God's greater purpose. This is what meekness will do in your life. That's why it's a superpower. But the second thing I want to show you is this, okay? Meekness also holds back power. Meekness will hold back power in your life, will hold back strength. Before Spider-Man, Jesus made it clear, with great power comes great responsibility. I could not pass up that opportunity to say that. I'm sorry, I just felt like this was the right time. Okay, with great power comes great responsibility. Okay, now let me show you some interesting things here. Matthew 26. I told you that Judas betrayed Jesus around midnight. He brings around 500 men, okay? And we know this because again, in John chapter 18, verse 3, it says the leading priests and Pharisees had given Judas a contingent of Roman soldiers and temple guards to accompany him. A contingent of Roman soldiers in the Greek means at least 500 men, anywhere from 500 to 1,000. So Judas shows up with all these men. And if you know the story, remember, Peter tries to protect Jesus, cuts off a man's ear. Jesus is like, no, 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 Peter, don't do that. And he heals the man's ear. Listen to what Jesus told Peter. Matthew 26, verse 52 and 53. Jesus said to him, he said, put your sword back in its place. For all those who habitually draw the sword will die by the sword. Here it is. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will immediately provide, listen to this, more than 12 legions of angels. Okay, let's put this in perspective here. So Judas shows up with 500 men to attack Jesus. In front of Judas, Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, by just my words, I can call down more than 12 legions of angels. My Father would send them to me to help rescue me. How much is a legion? Well, a legion is equivalent, listen to this, to 6,000 soldiers. 6,000. Jesus said, by my authority, my power, I can call more than 12 legions of angels. So if we just calculated 12 of them, it would mean that Jesus was stating, listen, I can call down more than 72,000 angels. More than 72,000 angels right now can appear at this moment and take down your 500 men. I'm not scared of you. Now, Jesus has more strength and power than all angels combined, right? So let me show you the strength of one angel. In 2 Kings, let's see here, 2 Kings chapter 19, one angel showed up and he killed, listen to this, 185,000 men. One angel. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. Jesus had all the power. He's saying that I can call over 72,000 angels. They would show up. They would annihilate you. Every one of you would be gone. I had the power to do it, yet he held back. Do you understand that this is meekness? It's a superpower to hold back what you can do for God's greater good. He withheld it all, and I just need you to get this today. He withheld it all so you can be saved, so that you would not be lost, so that you would not feel like you're abandoned or forgotten and leading straight to hell. He has saved you and rescued you from the pit because he held back his strength to suffer for you and I. By his whips, we are healed. Jesus had all the power. So this is strength under control. And so I have a fun illustration now. I'm going to have these guys bring this out for me. I'll give them a round of applause. Go ahead and put it right here. All right, Micah. Now, my son is probably tired of doing illustrations with me because I keep making him lift weights. But the best illustration I can think of when it comes to strength under control is that sometimes living for the world standards, we pretend to have more strength than we do. We pretend to have it all figured out because we want to control things and we want to prove to other people that, hey, I know what I'm doing. And so if you've ever been to the gym and seen this, have you ever noticed somebody called lifting in a way that's called ego lifting? What is ego lifting? Ego lifting means that you are lifting heavier then you should be lifting. Why? Not to build your own body or your own muscle mass or make your body better, but you're lifting in order to impress other people. Like, you ever seen that guy that just goes around and is like, I'm the strongest here? If you're the strongest here, you shouldn't have to say it, right? Everybody should know if you were the strongest. And so a lot of us right now are ego lifting. So Micah, go ahead and take this up. And I want you to purposely ego lift. He wanted y'all to know he can lift this. So ego lift, man. And what it is, he's just rocking. He's not really getting the bicep at all. And what's gonna happen over time, if he keeps doing this, go ahead and just hold it, buddy. If he keeps doing this, what's gonna happen to his body? Eventually, injury is gonna take place. And so here's a great scripture for those that lift all the time. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23, pride will land you flat on your face. All right, if you go into the gym with pride, it will land you flat on your face, but the humble will be honored instead. And so I see a lot of us who are struggling. Go ahead and put it down, buddy. We're struggling with ego lifting in our life. And then the Lord just kind of revealed this to me today. I felt like God said, you know what though? A lot of people struggle with this because of the names that they were called in their family. There's a lot of people that are listening who I know who have been abused, physically abused, verbally abused, even sexually abused in a way where when you were young, you said, nobody's gonna push me around again. Nobody's gonna be in control of my life, and so I'm gonna prove to everybody else. And so sometimes you go through life like ego lifting, pretending to have strength that you don't actually have. And you're doing things the wrong way, and so you're causing injury with your own body, your own heart, your own soul, and with every relationship you encounter, you're causing injury. So Jesus is stating there is a better way. There is a better way. When you understand meekness, it means that you understand you can't lift this by yourself sometimes. But in your weakness, he will make you strong. So pick it up again. Turn towards me, buddy. And so what I need you to understand is that the Holy Spirit will come into your life and say, all right, you're having trouble with your mouth. I get it. It's hard to hold back. But the Holy Spirit says, I'm gonna give you reps. We're gonna have strength under control, and I will help you. Every time they try to hurt you, you don't have to say something back. You got this, you got this. If you've ever had somebody who motivates you or a trainer in your life, what are they doing? They're speaking encouragement. The Holy Spirit is the advocate, the comforter. He says, you got this. Why? Because I will make you stronger. I will hold back your tongue. You don't have to hurt them. And now the strength, you have strength under control. You no longer lose that power. Why? Because you're submitting to the power of the Father. The will of the Father is more important than what you want to do in the situation. You hold back the way you react to see God's greater good in the purpose. Thank you, buddy. We all give him one more round of applause. You got it? All right. Go ahead and do some deadlifts back there. It'll be fine. Here's what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. He said, but I must not be too proud of the wonderful things that were shown to me. God has shown me a lot of things. So a painful problem was given to me, an angel from Satan, a demon, sent to make me suffer so that I would not think, here it is, that I'm better than anyone else. Meaning sometimes you have to suffer so that you do not become too prideful. We have to suffer in our life to understand, God, make me humble, make me weak so I can put others before myself. Then he said, but I begged the Lord 3 times to take it away. This is Paul stating this. I begged God to take it away. Have you been there too? We think if the weight is taken away from us, that's how we will be healed. Sometimes that's not true. Sometimes that's when the Holy Spirit says, no, it's not the weight being taken away. It's you understanding that I will give you the strength to endure the weight. That's when your character becomes challenged and better. He said, I begged the Lord 3 times to take the problem away, but the Lord said, my grace is all you need. Here's the workout program. My grace for you will give you spiritual gains. Taking away the weight will not make you stronger, but only when you are weak can everything be completely done by my power. Do you understand the significance here? Only when you are meek, only when you are weak, only when you humble yourself before the Lord can you see the power of God in your life. To do the things that you cannot, the things that you're praying over. Everything can be done completely by my power. So then he said, I will gladly boast about my weaknesses. And Christ's power can stay in me. Yes. Now this sounds a lot like the Beatitudes. He said, yes, I'm glad to have weakness if they are in for Christ. I'm glad to be insulted and have hard times. I'm glad when I'm persecuted and have problems. Here it is, because it's when I am weak that I am really strong. It's not about ego lifting. And meekness is not weakness, it's controlled strength to put the Lord's purpose first in your life. And the Holy Spirit will help guard your mouth and your actions and what you do. My last point is this today though, and this is a really huge revelation here. Meekness gives you power over the devil. Did you know that? Meekness will actually give you power over the devil. Let me explain why. Okay, so let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 5 again, but this time it's gonna be in the Message version. I like how it's worded here. It states, you're blessed when you're, listen to this, when you're content. When you're content with who you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You are blessed when you are content, when you understand what you have right now is what God has placed in your hands. It's okay to still want more. It's okay to still have goals, but you should look at your life and say, God, I know I'm blessed and I'm content with everything that you placed before me. You're not miserable in this season where you feel like you're without something, but trust the Lord instead. Why? Because we think in our culture today, we can just buy the joy we want. And you can buy temporary happiness. It will come and go. That new car is fun for a while until it's old, till it breaks down, right? You can buy temporary happiness, but I need you to understand, joy is a spiritual need. It is a spiritual need that only comes from above. It only comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or what we drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is joy in your life. That joy comes from above, and it means that everything can be falling apart and you're like, I'm good. Because I know the will of the Father is great and better than anything that I can plan today. Here's why this word is so good for you today, okay? And again, I said this kind of during the prophetic time, but Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 just really caught my attention about the character of Moses. And it says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And again, what did Moses do when he encountered God's presence? The first thing he did when he came to the burning bush, he took off his sandals, he took off his shoes, right? And he hid his face from the Lord. And then God declared over his life, listen, because you have humbled yourself before me, now there's an anointing in your life. That's why it's a superpower. The only way to receive an anointing over your life is to humble yourself before the presence of God. You have to have the spirit of meekness to submit to the will of God. Otherwise, your pride will always tell you to do your own thing instead. Why do we listen to our pride though? Because again, we want to prove to other people that we have everything under control. We want to show them immediately. None of us like to wait on the Lord. I said that in the very beginning of the sermon, that David was telling the Israelites, listen, you're in the land, you don't own it yet, but it's coming, wait on the Lord. We don't like that though. God, I gotta show them right now. I gotta tell everybody right now that I'm in control. Learn this now. You will never have joy trying to prove yourself to other people all the time. You wanna rob yourself of true joy? You'll never have joy trying to prove yourself to other people over and over again. If you live this way, you will not be happy with yourself. And if you can't get along with yourself, you're not gonna get along with others. And I see that so much because so many of us are living that life. Every day I gotta prove to them. Instead of being content and understanding that God has a greater purpose. See, meekness is an anointing. And it's also freedom because you don't have to prove yourself to other people. I wanna show you maybe a new revelation you've never heard before. Today is Palm Sunday. We're celebrating the joyful celebration of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Everybody's shouting, Hosanna. And if you grew up in church, you've probably seen plays of kids holding up the branches and shouting, and it seems joyful. Matthew 21, 9 through 11, Jesus was in the center of all the procession, and all the people around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest heaven. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. So imagine the disciples are like, yeah, finally he's becoming king. Finally, the fulfillment of prophecy is gonna take place. We're gonna take over Israel, it's happening. And Jesus knew something else. The prophecy of Isaiah is that he would go into Jerusalem like a lamb about to be slaughtered. And he knew at this moment, listen, Jesus wasn't trying to impress people. He was content with waiting on what the Lord had for all of us. Because he knew, listen, the same people who were shouting Hosanna one day would also yell crucify the next. That hurts. Jesus even told his disciples in Luke 18, 31 through 33, he said, we're going to Jerusalem where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans. He will be mocked. He will be treated shamefully and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus, no. Again, he fulfilled a prophecy. Now, please pay attention to this one. This one's special. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just in having salvation. Now, here it is. Lowly. And riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey, Jesus came lowly. He came in meek into Jerusalem. The Romans weren't scared of Jesus coming in this way because they were used to a show. They were used to a celebration in a different way. What the Romans saw was just a peasant riding on a pony with old clothes and branches. So they weren't afraid. When we read this, we think, okay, lowly means that he was riding on a donkey instead of a horse. That's not what it means. It actually means upon the character of Jesus that he knew he was about to be slaughtered as an innocent lamb. Because did you know that a donkey is still a royal steed in the Old Testament? A donkey is still a royal steed, especially within the Jewish culture. Here's the difference though, this is so good, between a donkey and a horse. When a king came in on a donkey, he was representing peace. If a king rode in on a donkey, it meant, listen, he was already in control. He already had the highest authority. He didn't come in to conquer. He had already conquered. He was coming into Jerusalem, about to be slaughtered, still declaring, I bring you peace because I am still in control of what's about to happen. I am being led to the cross. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. John 14, 27, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace. Not the kind of fragile peace that this world will give you, but my perfect peace. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. You will have peace through the trials that you face. Remember, when Jesus was stating this, he also knew Judas was betraying him. He is still offering us peace because he's in control. That's why he rode in on a donkey. But he's coming back. Please don't miss that. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. You understand, he is meekly waiting. He is patiently waiting. He is humbly waiting for the right time. This time when he comes back, he's not coming on a donkey. But this time when he comes back, he's coming back on a white horse. And he is truly declaring war over all the evil of this world. And the devil will run, demons will run, and all the wicked and evil will run. But when he comes back, he's declaring there will be no more tears, there will be no more pain, there will be no more death. He has come to conquer. That's what he's coming back on. Revelation 19, 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. The new kingdom that is coming. This is our eternity with Christ. This is what it means to be meek before the Lord. You didn't know that. I didn't know a lot of these things. The Lord revealed a lot. Meekness is a superpower that could take you far. And so I'm gonna have you stand right here because here's what I wanna do. Like, actually, I'm gonna have our prayer team come up front because when I preach this sermon, I know the Lord spoke to me that there's gonna be some people in this room, maybe watching online, that again have grown up in environments where you feel like you gotta protect yourself because you've been hurt by other people. And so it's hard to be meek. Like, it's hard to humble yourself. It's hard to not speak up sometimes. And so my question for you today is, do you trust the Lord? Maybe you're going through a season right now where it feels like torment. You feel persecuted. You feel like people are gossiping about you and hurting you. You feel like your family is falling apart. But when you run to Jesus, you receive peace. You can have peace today because He is the King of peace. He has this gift available for you, but I'm telling you, you gotta run into His arms. And it's through special prayer and anointing. And listen, it's not embarrassing to come up to the altar. What is it? It's again, it's meekness. It's just like Moses. Take your shoes off. This is holy ground. And then the anointing can be placed upon your life. When you humble yourself before God, there is a promise. There's a special blessing and there is an anointing. And it's available for you today. So in this moment, I'm gonna ask you, if you need prayer today, please come up front. I would love to pray over you. I would love to encourage you. And allow God to give you strength today. Come on, don't miss out on what the Lord is doing. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on.
We hope you enjoyed this week's sermon. If you've been blessed by this message, be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss future messages. And if you feel led to give to this ministry, check out the link in the description and see the other ways you can get connected.